Matthew chapter 6. We're in chapter 5 this morning. And though I had promised Brother Ronnie I'd preach long enough for you to need a packed lunch, I didn't. But chapter 6 is fantastic. I mean, the whole thing is. But if you look at chapter 6 and verse 19. You got it? Say amen. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon the earth. How many of you know how to lay up treasure? I mean, it's really, the math is there. Right, we give all out effort. We're consistent in our effort. You can have great effort, but if you're not consistent, you won't build wealth. But effort, consistent, deliberate, right? Saving our money, not wasting our money. You gotta have a goal as to what we want financially and laying up treasures or the things we want to have. Maybe it's not in the bank. Maybe it's property or material, but we know what we want and we know how to make those things happen. Work hard for it. We know how, you know, if you spend any time studying at all, you know how interest affects you and how compound interest affects you on the other side. So we look at those things and we say, well, we know what we've got to do if we want to save money, if we want to have wealth, right? Lay up treasures on the earth. We know how to do that. But he said, don't lay it up for yourselves on earth, because the moth and the rust doth corrupt it, and thieves break through and steal. They do that. And it's tragic when you've built up and saved up, and then somebody comes along and takes advantage of you and takes all that you've worked so hard for. But here's the next thing. He says, lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. Do we know how to do that? Well, the equation is the same. We've got to have effort, and we've got to be consistent. It's not just about having a push, you know, for like a revival or around Easter or around Christmas. We can't just use those seasons and push. We've got to be consistent day in, day out, week in, week out. We've got to work on, you know, reaching people, reaching families, reaching adults, reaching children, ministering to those who are already in the church. And so we've got to be consistent and deliberate. We've got to be deliberate. We've got to mean to do it. There is ministry that happens accidentally. There is ministry that we don't plan, but we engage in. But we've got to be deliberate each week, each day, and say, I'm going to do something for God today. I'm going to reach somebody with the gospel today. I'm going to share the gospel today with somebody who has never heard it, or at least never understood it plainly. We've got to be deliberate day in and day out. That's what it takes. And then we've got to not be wasteful. You know, and it's a mindset, isn't it? It's funny. I know y'all do this too. You go to the store and you look at something and you say, you know, that's $6.99. Do I really need it that bad? It's $7. I don't know if I really need it that bad. I could probably eat at home and not have to spend that money. I've already got some ham and bread at the house. And do I really need to go to a restaurant and spend $12? And so we make those decisions, don't we? How many of y'all make those decisions? I can remember my dad driving across town using a gallon of gas to save 3 cents a gallon. You know, but it was cheaper over there. Doesn't matter that the math didn't add up and it washed out by the end of it. But we're mindful of saving money. And we need to be mindful of reaching souls. He said, lay up in heaven treasure. Well, what is that treasure that we're laying up in store in heaven? Well, it's souls. I want to see a whole bunch of people in heaven that I saw here. I want to see a whole bunch of people in heaven that I reached with the gospel. And it's wonderful to pastor, but there's also the evangelism side. We've got to reach souls. And not just me, we all have to. It's got to be in our mind to do it. We must be deliberate and consistent. And also not waste our time on energy and energy on things that won't make a difference. And I see churches get involved in a lot of things, and I pay attention to these programs that other churches are doing because I want to see if it works. If it makes a difference, let's do it. But you know what I see a lot of times is putting a whole lot of effort into something that doesn't help out. It doesn't make a difference. Nobody gets saved. Nobody gets returned to God, restored in their walk with God. They don't come back to God. But there's a whole lot of energy and the church does it. And you say, well, we did something. No, that's not good enough. It's not good enough to do something if it doesn't work. We got to do what works. And that's what when we're talking about laying up in treasure, we've got to be just as deliberate in ministry as we would be in our own personal wealth. And you say, well, Pastor, you know, I don't really care if I'm wealthy. I understand that. But Jesus said we should lay up treasure in heaven. He said we do need to lay up. We need to think, have an eternal mindset. There are all kinds of books on finances, and you know, they say, well, it's just the way we think. And some will say, well, you're just working a job, you can't get rich. But you can if you manage yourself well. One of the biggest things, I think they ought to teach this in school, is just comparing the price of a house and what you actually pay for a house on a 30-year mortgage. Compare that to a 15-year mortgage and just the difference of that. And there's just so much, but people are not mindful of it. They just see what they can pay every month. They don't see what it's going to cost them at the end of the term. And that's a mistake. And so we've got to consider, what is it going to take to reach people in the short term? And then look at the long term. If I do it every day, if I'm consistent reaching people every day, sharing the gospel every day, if I put power in my prayer, if I really seek the counsel of God and the leadership of God, if I stay in the Word of God and have the mind of Christ, how will it affect my life and the others at the end of the term? And we know what the end of the term is, don't we? Might not know when it is, but we know what it is. And that's when we get to go there. And I know we're all looking forward to going to heaven, but wouldn't it be great if when we got there, there'd be a greeting party there that said, you're the reason I'm here. You got me here. And wouldn't it be great to be standing around in heaven one day doing whatever heavenly people do? And the Lord comes and said, hey, I need you at the gate. Well, why do you need me at the gate? Because the person that's coming in wants to see you. Wouldn't that be great for God to invite us to stand at the gate as the people are entering in and they see you and they say, you're the reason I'm here. You got me here. I hope that happens through missions. I hope that happens through the effort of the church. But wouldn't it be great to be invited and you're the one that actually talked to them about Jesus? Those are the things we have to think about. Jesus said we know how to do it on earth, but we better be thinking about how to do it in heaven. And then he says this in verse 20, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, where thieves do not break through nor steal, where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. And we've invested in heaven, and that will affect the way we love heaven. How many of you love heaven? Well, it gets sweeter every day, doesn't it? Not just because of what's going on here, but because of who's there. And we're looking forward to going. But he said that's where our hearts ought to be. Verse 22. He says, the light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. So putting it in context and remembering where our treasure is, remembering what our focus is, we're having a heavenly focus, an eternal focus, and he says it's going to change our vision. It's going to change how we see the world. When we realize that everybody is an eternal soul, we won't be quite as critical. We'll be a lot more gracious and merciful toward people, forgiving people. And we'll overlook their current situation because we want them to know an eternal God. And we'll love them as they are, where they are. And we'll share with them. We won't say, well, they'll never listen. No, give them a shot. Give them a chance. Let's do our part. Let's do what God's called us to do. But it affects our focus and our perception, how we see the whole world. Man, when we get saved and we spend time with God and we spend time in the Word of God, it affects the way we see the world. A lot of things going on today. A lot of stuff going on. And you know, there are those who would love for us to all be pitted against each other and hate each other and work against each other and not love one another. But Jesus told us we ought to love one another. Jesus told us that we ought to reach out to those who are lost and tell them about the Savior. And he said it begins with the way we see the world, our vision, our eyes. I'm afraid there are too many invisible people around us. Too many people that we don't see, we overlook. But they need the Lord, and we have the Lord. We can't afford for anybody to be invisible. My dad was well known by some, especially, that he would stop his car on the interstate if he saw a quarter laying in the middle of it, wait for traffic to clear, and he'd go pick up that quarter. That's just the way he was. He wouldn't stop traffic, but he'd stop in, you know, on the side of traffic and get out and go get it. There was somebody who thought they were funny, and they glued a quarter to the floor in the mall, and he reached down to get it, and it was stuck. He went out to the car and got something and came in and unstuck it. And he got that quarter. Now, see, so he saw every opportunity to add to his treasures, if you will. He always was mindful of that. But you know what Jesus says? Just as Dad always saw every opportunity and never let an opportunity escape, that's how it should be with the treasure in heaven. We should never let an opportunity escape us. But we do. And we're poor because of it. We need to reach out and make a difference. And the way we see the world, if we have joy in our heart, if we're looking with the perception, the vision of God, we're seeing opportunity, we're seeing beauty, we're seeing wonder. But then he says, what if your eye is evil? In verse 23, he said, the whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? I've said that negative thoughts add to negative thoughts. Negative thinking just creates more negative thinking. Again, like I talked about being deliberate, we've got to be deliberate in our gratitude. We've got to be deliberate in our praise. We've got to be deliberate in the things that we say and the things that we see. We've got to look for the beauty intentionally. And if we do it enough, it'll come to us naturally. It'll become part of who we are. It becomes part of our being. But if there's darkness, oh, once we get disgruntled, once we get mad, once we get distressed, we begin to see the problems in everything. And the problems just seem to mount up, don't they? And that's true. All the people that I talk to, I notice that once they begin to see all of their problems, and they talk about all their problems, that's all they talk about is what's wrong and how terrible it is, and it just gets bigger and bigger like a snowball. We've got to be intentional. What we see, look for the good, look for the opportunity. Verse 24, no man can serve two masters. Either he'll hate the one, love the other, else he'll hold to the one, despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Our hearts are either eternity focused or fleshly focused. We're either thinking about today and the world and ourselves, or we're thinking about eternity and God and what difference we can make. Can I tell you can make a difference? You can. Those 12 apostles that Jesus pulled, they were nobody. They were not men of reputation. They were not men of power. They were not eloquent speakers. We'll go back to Moses. Moses was not an eloquent speaker, and he used that as an excuse. And God said, I'll tell you what, I'll send your brother with you, and he can talk for you. You tell him what to say, and he'll say it. God will find a way around our excuse. If we'll surrender to him, God will make a way in us and through us. Our hearts have got to be eternity focused. Verse 25, we'll read a little bit. He said, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, which ye shall eat, what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body, what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body more than raiment? Behold, the fowls of the air, they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are you not much better than they? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit to his stature? That'd be good, wouldn't it, if you could be 18 inches taller? That would settle my weight problem right there if I was 18 inches taller. I could eat another cheeseburger. What? Verse 28, why take ye thought for raiment? Your clothes. Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. They don't worry. They don't wring their hands worried about stuff. I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. The beauty of what God has done. Isn't it incredible to think that God made you? He put you together. Every part works because of God. You say, well, I'm not beautiful. Sure you are. You're the creation of God. You're His handiwork. Verse 31, therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat or what shall we drink? Wherewithal shall we be clothed? Now, he's not saying you can't make a decision on the menu. He's saying, don't worry about it. Don't worry yourself over it. For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. That's what's important to them. What are they trying to sell you? Everything. They're trying to sell us anything and everything. How do they do it? They get us to be conscious of how we look. They get us to be conscious of what tastes better. Boy, wouldn't it be great if we couldn't taste all the sweet things? Well, we'd be healthy, wouldn't we, if we didn't care anything about cake? By the way, I still like cake. Your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all these things. God knows our needs. He knows what we need today. He knows what we'll need tomorrow. He knows. Do you trust Him? We trust God. I trust God to take care of me. Jesus will get on a ship. Storm blow up. Everybody else was worried and Jesus was sleeping. Why? He trusted the Father. I'll go further than that. Old Jonah. He was a backslidden preacher. But he got on that ship and he went to sleep. Why? Because he trusted God. He was running from God, but he still knew God. He still knew God was in control. And the ship tossed. They woke him up and he said, well, guys, I'll just be honest with you. The storm's here because I'm here. If you throw me over, everything will be all right. He knew. He trusted God. What did he think would happen when he got thrown into the water? Did he think he would drown? No, he still knew God would do something. And God did something. Did something wonderful. Your heavenly Father knoweth that you need all these things. Verse 33, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. He says we're so worried about accumulating wealth and posture and, you know, all that in this life. And he said what we need to be thinking about is heaven. And if we'll work for God, God will supply. If we'll serve Him, God will provide. Take therefore no thought for the morrow. For the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient to the day is the evil thereof. Let me ask you a question. How many of you ever worried about something that didn't happen? Yeah. He said, tomorrow will have enough worries of its own. Don't worry about tomorrow. Think about today, what you can do for God, what we can do for God. Every opportunity, every soul. And if somebody's got that soul glued to the floor, come back with a tool and collect. Say, I'm not giving up that easy. Lay out for yourselves treasures in heaven where moth and rust does not corrupt and nobody can steal what we've done for eternity. Would you stand? Father, we put our trust in You. We know there are things in this life that we must deal with, things that we don't understand, things that we don't know what we're going to do, but we put our trust in You. We ask that You would give us wisdom. Give us insight. Give us understanding. Help us to follow Your heart. God, we would serve You. We would do Your work, eternal work, where it cannot be taken away. God, give us souls for our labor. We pray that souls will be saved, that lives will be changed, that we can see all that You have put us here to do and give You all the glory and the praise. Dismiss us now with Your grace and bring us back together. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.